are some exceptions, but we're starting from a point of no banners, and then you'll see later in the code where they would be allowed.
Correct.
So there are several places in town where you put up temporary banners. One is right out here, like for arts events that are coming. That is not included.
That is still allowed.
That is still allowed, okay.
Yeah, that would be allowed.
And that's even included right here.
Yeah, and temporary events, they're in a different section of the code, so those banners could be on our public kiosks that we've got. And the code does allow up to three of those on private property, so that's the way it works. The maximum of three in town regarding banners for community events. Billboards are not allowed. Canopy signs would not be allowed. Electronic message signs, except signs owned and operated by the city for public safety purposes. Feather flags, and these are, I've got a picture of these coming up, but just those teardrop flags that pop up all the time. We would say those are not allowed. That's something that's not covered by our current code well at all. Those are kind of a newer thing. Flashing signs or any lights that flash or move. Home occupation signs, so home occupations in a residential neighborhood, right now you can't have a sign for that. So this would continue that, is you wouldn't be able to have a home occupation sign. There is a cottage industry license that the city allows, and there is a sign that is allowed for a cottage industry, so that's kind of a different category. Illuminated, backlit, interior lit, side lit, edge lit, shadow lighting signs are not allowed in any zone, so there's a lot of different, I can put examples of them, each of these are all different. But basically, it creates a lot of light. And we do allow lighting on signs, but we just allow a light to be shown on the sign directly, is the idea. Inflatable signs.
Dancing men.
And then off-premise signs, that's probably the key thing that needs to be in the code. If you allow off-premise signs, you'll end up with signs everywhere. And so the code currently doesn't allow off-premise signs, and that allows us to gather all the illegal signs in town. That is a constant thing that happens more than once a week. You know, we are picking up signs nonstop around town. Pennants and plastic signs and plexiglass signs, portable signs. So probably the most controversial part of this is the A-frame signs that we have around town. And the recommendation really from the Visual and Architectural Committee is to eliminate those completely. And the idea is a business, we want to have a quality permanent sign, and that should be the what people look at as they drive up and down Main Street. But we end up, the A-frame signs really are not of that same quality, and they end up being permanent signs out in front of the business. And so the thought is to eliminate the portable and the A-frame signs. And back when our current sign code was written, there were much less businesses up and down Main Street, so it wasn't so overbearing. But as we grow and we get more and more businesses, there's a lot more A-frame signs that are popping up, and again, they just become permanent signs. People see the A-frames and not the what should be the beautiful monument signs or the wall signs on the building. So something to debate for sure regarding the A-frame signs. 20, right-of-way, no signs should be placed in the public right-of-way, so that gives us the ability, again, to pick up signage that's illegal in town.
Hey, Michael, real quick on that note, just pet peeve. Whenever I see those signs on the roundabouts, you know, people put up, you know, Joe's Gutters.
Yeah.
I mean, I always like stop and like rip those out. It absolutely drives me crazy that people just think they're entitled to just put their business right there.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just, whatever. For the record, I'm openly saying I bandy about and just like eliminate those like every time I see them because it drives me crazy. Anyways, blah, blah.
Does he need to be deputized?
Yeah. There's no sheriff, so give me a badge.
Yeah.
Sign sheriff.
Yeah, it is constant. So at least two times a week we go around town. Usually Melanie, that's her, one of her jobs, is to go around and pick up all the illegal signs, and we get hundreds of them. You know, it is never ending. So, roof signs.
So just curious on that, are is the city or anyone contacting these businesses and saying, is there something in place to be to find them, or to let them know, to be like, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, Joe's gutters, hey, call me. Okay, guess what? Here's your $500 fine. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious, is there anything in place to prohibit? Because if we have a certain amount of enforcing by just removing them,
yeah.
I know they're out a sign, but I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah, in our fee schedule for the city, there is a fine. Usually how we've handled this is the first go around, we haven't fined them. But if we see their signs out again, then yeah, if they want their signs back, they have to pay us for those signs, is how we've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can't say we contact everyone. Sometimes we just pick them up. But if there's a repeat offender, we contact
just
them.
Drop them off the city.
So.
Oh. Yeah,
once a week, he'll just stop by and drop off his signs.
Roof signs, so anything really above the roof line, if you can imagine, you know, a sign that's usually on a different angle than the roof, doesn't look very good. Roof signs are not allowed with this also. The signs which violate the clear view triangle, so when you hit it, when you're at an intersection, there's a certain distance that the sign needs to be away to from that intersection, so a clear view, so traffic safety, pedestrian safety is important. So. We confiscate those signs all the time too, and we wouldn't allow a permanent sign to be in the clear view triangle. Search lights and or spotlights wouldn't be allowed. Vacancy signs, really we don't have any hotels in the commercial zone, and the resorts don't use vacancy, and so we have eliminated those. And the way things are going, almost all the time now you would get a room through an app, not necessarily by seeing a vacancy sign. So. Vehicle signs advertising off-premise events, that becomes a problem. So that's included in this also. And then wind signs, even this last week, we had somebody talking about a wind sign.
What are wind signs?
You know, things that move, that advertise a business.
things that involve, some of them are those kind of.
Yeah, like it looks like a
male
going
up and down. I mean, it can even be, we do have pinwheels and other stuff that are stuck on top of A-frames and other stuff.
Okay.
We have things that flutter and move, and it would be those things.
Okay.
I don't understand vehicle signs. So if you have your car shrink wrapped, you can't come to Midway? What?
So
no, that's
this,
not a problem.
Yeah, the problem, you go to a
take
larger
sign
city
off your truck.
On a bus, there'll be a truck that will drive up and down, usually with some type
Vegas.
Of audible sound, advertising the business. So that's what that is. Now there's another section of this code that covers the vehicle signs, like the contractor, and they are allowed to have signs on those vehicles, but they can't be a billboard type sign. It's just the whole purpose is driving around town advertising something.
Or just parking your big, this question came up with Ali Ali actually, because they set the trailer right at the entrance to Ali Ali.
Oh yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
It exceeded the sign ordinance, and that was in effect.
Billboard.
It was an effective billboard.
Yeah, we've had
so
that
this is to kind of
too.
Deal with those sorts of situations too. And they can use that. I mean, so the result was they ended up moving it much farther back where it wasn't. But it's kind of getting away from using a vehicle to get around sign of requirements.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are existing and proposed prohibited signs. So we'll kind of go through a bunch of these different items, and feel free to chime in whenever you'd like to. But there's more to go over, and then we can really get into it. Sign depth. So this requires a certain amount of sign depth, and it's based off of the square footage of the sign. So if a sign is equal or greater than 20 square feet, then you've got to have at least 2 inches of depth with any of the graphics or any of the letters, for instance, that are on it. And we did look at quite a few signs to get a feel for this, and we actually measured the depths of the signs that looked good, and this is what we ended up with. Between 10 and 20 square feet, the depth would be 1 inch, and then if it's less than 10 square feet, it would be half an inch. And even half an inch makes a huge difference on a sign. And then no single letter can exceed 2 feet in height or 2 feet in width. So you can imagine if somebody gets the maximum size sign and they've got a gift shop, and so they're 20 24 square feet and they just put gifts on it, that would not look very good up and down Main Street. So that's the idea of why you would limit the size of any particular letter, for instance. And then no web addresses, phone numbers, hashtags, QR codes, or similar information shall be displayed on signs. So
again, there are some exceptions later on for QR codes for things like trail signs, menus. There are some things where QRs, but
not on a permanent commercial
sign.
Not
on a permanent commercial sign.
So does depth refer to the overall depth of the sign or the depth of the how far the lettering stands
lettering
out from the
background? Lettering and graphics.
So it's really both directions. Is the depth for the letter, placed on the sign, or is how deep it's engraved into the sign? It can be either direction.
But it has to have depth. It can't be a flat sign.
Correct.
It seems like that would be very expensive.
It's really not.
Really?
Yeah.
It is a lot more expensive than a flat sign, but it also looks dramatically better than a flat sign.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you go print something on a flat sign or metal sign, you could probably do something for $200-$300.
Yeah.
If you do anything with dimension, you're looking at least for $1,000 to $2,500. I just built one. That's the only reason I know kind of the range. But they look just so much better.
Right.
And yeah, they're just so much more interesting. They bring a sense of
quality yeah.
to the whole
field. Yeah, they are more expensive, that's for sure. We did talk to Spencer from Signorama, who does a lot of the signage around the valley. And it's all relative, from his perspective, yeah, there's a difference in price, but he felt like, it wasn't overbearing or overwhelming for somebody to have a sign with depth.
And they're easy to get, it sounds like. You don't have to sort of go to New York to get one of these things.
No, there's several people here local that'll build them.
Okay, great.
We had an artist hand carve ours, which is kind of a cool process in itself.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
And this is one thing we've really been missing in our code. The VAC and staff has been pushing depth because that really adds quality to a sign, just as Travis described. But when you look at the code, it's not real directly stated that you have to do that. So it's something that we pushed, but it's the push comes to shove. We don't win that argument with our current code. So, so regarding monument signs with a sign area over 6 square feet must have 2 supporting posts, one on each side of the sign, or a rock support base under the entire width of the sign. So, as you go up and down Main Street, like the Show Pony, for instance, and Fernway, they have just one posted monument signs. And it works because of the size of the sign, but you get much bigger, it would look awkward if you only had one post instead of two. So above 6 square feet, we're saying two posts. Or you could do a rock support underneath the entire width. On quarter lots, one monument sign is allowed per frontage and shall be located a minimum of 50 feet apart. So quarter lots, they get to advertise on both frontages. But the key is there has to be a distance between those two, and they have to be out of the clear view, because if we didn't have a distance between the two, really you'd end up probably 2 monuments on one street. We've got to make sure one is on each frontage and not 2 of them on the same frontage. Okay, so kind of talking in more detail about some of this, A-frames, as I mentioned, we get a lot of A-frames. And there's not a standard for them. Some are bigger than others, but they all end up being kind of permanent is what happens. And so we've had, people ask about A-frames over time, and some people